Well, thanks for being here today. I am so honored to be part of Reach 10 and to serve on the board. I didn't know how much I'd appreciate being part of this board until I actually showed up and met you. And I'm very passionate about you and the millennials and your generation because I have children your age and I have been on this journey with this issue of pornography and protecting our families. My message today comes from a passionate place. What I really want to share with you is something I'm noticing that I was missing. Like I kind of knew it was over here, like, oh, I knew that. But now that I'm actually living it and seeing it as from the perspective of a mother and the perspective of someone who works with and serves the parents of young men and young women who find themselves in an addiction to pornography. I'm very passionate about that. So just to give you a little backstory of why I would be so passionate as a mother.
I have two amazing sons, both of whom had addictive tendencies that started when they were 11 years old in different ways, but we didn't find out about the one until he was home from his mission. And the other, we found out when he was 13 years old.
And it put me in a place where I had this huge learning curve, you know, to be able to support that son.
We found a great resource that spoke to us and was so beneficial to us called the Sons of Helaman through Life Changing Services.
And then I got involved with parents because I realized no parents know what they're doing when it comes to this. And they really need some assistance. I needed assistance and there was no one to assist me. And there has to be somebody out there that has a voice to just show up and say, there is a way to do this better as parents. Because it's a long journey. And there's a lot to navigate because you feel so passionate as a parent for your child. And so today what I'm talking about is how important the message is of recovery is not a destination. That is such an important thing to recognize, not just, oh, that's a cool thing to say. No, it's a real thing. And we need to understand, what does that mean? Recovery is not a destination. I thought I knew what that meant. But now that I'm living what that looks like on the other end of, I have two sons who are married. Both of them have children. And I've watched them navigate there, I'm in recovery from an addiction in their young adult years before they got married and how they found their wives and then started their families and now how that is affecting their life now and what the dynamic is with their family. And what I'm noticing is there were some things I missed, some things I didn't even think were important because we really were in a place of thinking that the most important thing to do is make sure that your wife knows about this. That's just an act of love for her, an act of respect for her. And you being transparent about this and sharing your journey with her is so important so she can make a choice whether she wants to sign up for that or not. But what I'm noticing with both of these sons is they both have a different story because they both married different women, right? And they're both different people, very different people. But what I'm noticing is that they themselves did not understand what that meant, that recovery is not a destination. They didn't get that. My sons didn't understand that. And their wives didn't understand what that was either.
Because we didn't even know how to communicate that message.
Recovery is not a destination, it's a journey, a lifelong journey to stay in recovery. And one of the things that I think does that is, gosh, for lack of a better term, I guess I would say our culture, our Christian culture, our LDS culture that we're so many of us are involved in. Everything inside you as a mother, you met these milestones as you were growing up and a child and your parents expected that of you. And then here we are, now I'm a mother, I'm a parent, I'm a father, And it's important for me to get my child to those milestones of get on a mission, be worthy to go to the temple. That's where we get to. And so if your addiction starts when you're a child and your parents actually know about it, there's this interesting, I think, hope and dream that you all have. Because first of all, we all have this map that we've set up for one another. Like, here's the map on how you get to those milestones. And I'm part of the map that pushes you to those milestones. And I help you navigate to each thing so that you can get to your dreams and our dreams for you, right? But the thing that I noticed was, I think that we kind of get in a place where, because our child is a child, and we want to get them still to those things, that when they fight and get in a place of recovery, and you've gone through that journey with them, and they get to those milestones, it's so easy to say and to think, they're recovered. They're recovered. Because they got on a mission. They got married. Yes, we're done with this. You know, we are so done. And you feel like our dreams have come true. You're going to be the best guy ever, and you're going to be safe forever, because you get what a big deal this is, because we don't want to go back to that, right? It's just interesting how I think I bought that a little bit, and I'm not realizing that I did till now. I'm watching my adult sons, and I'm noticing what's happening in their lives. And so I want to share just a little story with you. I have a daughter, and we have a great relationship and friendship, and we've been through a lot together, and I've watched her life and all the things that she's been through and navigated, and I'm so impressed. Well, one of these things I'm going to share with you, just kind of give you an example maybe of this. So she graduated from high school, and she was determined to not get married and not have children. That was her story. Never getting married and never having children. And then she met Jim. And that story went away, right? Because Jim was there. And so she and Jim were engaged. And we decided, well, geez, pretty soon you're going to be married. And right now you have all of our insurance, our medical insurance available to you. So let's look at your whole body and get everything taken care of under our insurance before you get married. When she was a sophomore in high school, we went to a dermatologist because she had a little lump about the size of one of those petite peas in her neck. And we went in and said, hey, what's that? Should we be concerned about that? And they said, nope, that's just a fatty tumor. Lots of people have those, and you can just have it for as long as you want it. And nothing will happen to you. And they did say, it might grow in size, but there's nothing wrong with it. So we're like, okay, no problem. So we just went on, and so this is one of the things we went to check, because from the time she was a sophomore to now she's getting married, she would turn her neck like this, and all of a sudden Rhonda would come out. We started naming it, because it was big, like it, you could notice it. But we said, let's just go get Rhonda removed, since she's so noticeable now. And so we went to the dermatologist, and he said, no problem, it'll be like that fast, we'll just stitch it right up, and you'll be done. And so he opened it up to do his little procedure, and I could see the doctor, and I could tell he just got all red and nervous. And he says, I'll be right back. And I need to talk to one of my colleagues and have him come look at this. So we went out and got someone, brought him back, and they both looked at it. And then they both went out of the room, and he came back, and he said, I'm just going to put a bandage on this, and we've called a specialist, and you can be there in an hour, but we want you to go have them look at that, because it's not a fatty tumor. We thought it was, but it's not. So we got to the specialist, and within a few days, she was diagnosed with cancer. And that was crazy, right? She's engaged. Here she is. She's engaged and ready to be married, and one moment, all of her hopes and dreams are in front of her, and the next moment, she's being told that she has a life expectancy of 5 years, and here's what needs to be done, surgery right away, chemo right away, and then picture what she was thinking about. I'm engaged to this guy. And I'm saying, this is who I am. This girl with cancer. Jim's going through like, okay, I'm this returned missionary and I'm starting on my career path. I've decided what I'm doing. And I really am determined and very goal-oriented, and I feel so honored and blessed to have found the love of my life, and we're making plans for the future, and then all of a sudden, right? He has a decision to make because she's sick, and it's never going away. It's never going to go away. And if he says yes and marries her, then he's saying yes to potential pain, potential single fatherhood, potential lots of things, right? That's in his future if he says, I'm going to marry her. And so I'm going to come back to that story to tell you the end later. So the reason I'm telling that story is because I want you to relate that to addiction. Yeah, I work for a company in Farmington Life Changing Services, and they call me the parent support specialist. And I have an organization called Mothers Who Know, and we serve over 1,400 women all over the country right now. And right now, in our recovery program for young men, there are 580-ish young men in our program from all over the country. And we have an addiction recovery program for young women. And there are almost 60 young women in that recovery program. The reason I'm telling this is I love these people. I love them. And I love being able to support them in what they're going through. But they're not seeing what I can see because we've all been on this journey of now we've discovered we're getting to this place. Now they're getting married, right? They're all grown up. And now we're turning over to the now we're married fathers and families and husbands and wives. Now we're seeing something we haven't seen before. And I'm feeling so passionate about, we've got to say more about this. We have to do more about this because I'm seeing my own two sons navigate this, and they're two different people with two different wives. And so, does anybody know anybody with diabetes? Well, what would happen if someone had diabetes and they decided, I'm just not going to care about my diabetes. I'm not going to take care of it the way I should. What could happen to that person? Serious illness, blindness, amputation, ultimately death. Right? Really serious consequences if you don't take care of your diabetes. If I marry someone with diabetes, or if I have the mother of a child with diabetes, what if I were to think something like, do you know what? This is really inconvenient. It's kind of a bother in our life. All things have to change because of it. It restricts our freedom, kind of embarrassing. It makes you and us stand out in a different way. Others have to make special considerations for us because of it. They might see us kind of differently, have to make special things for you and do special things for us because you have diabetes. And I just like to be normal. Just be normal. I just like to be normal, and I'd rather not talk about it or focus on it because it affects the comfort of my life. It affects the comfort of my life and makes me uneasy in many areas, mostly the area of I feel kind of powerless and I don't know what to do about this, but I have to deal with it. And it's inconvenient for me. I don't want to do that. I want you to just be fine and normal. I want to have a life like the neighbors. And what if you are someone with an addiction? And this could be an addiction to, today this is all about an addiction to pornography. And that started when you were a child and now you're married and you've got to a place of recovery. But what if you get married, and what would happen if you decided, I've fought so hard to get in a place of recovery, and now I kind of have this same belief that maybe my parents did and all these people did, because now I've met the milestones. I'm awesome. And I'm going to get married, and I know that I've heard before that getting married doesn't make this feeling or addiction go away. I think it will for me. I think it will for me. I think it's really going to help me a lot to just be able to have a significant other and be able to be sexually active. And, you know, it's going to be great. So I'm going to try, because I love this person so much, I'm going to try to make our life as normal as possible to look like the neighbors. That's what I'm going to do. What would happen to someone in an addiction if they did that? Fall right back into it. And depending on who it was, it might happen really fast or 5 years later. So what if the person with the addiction said the exact same thing? What if they said, this is inconvenient? It is inconvenient. This is inconvenient. This requires me to think about my schedule different. I can't just lay here and cuddle forever all day. I have to do things like drills and practice the things that I know to keep me safe. I have to work hard. I have to stay busy. I have to do all these things I've learned to do to keep myself in an awesome place so that I am safe and I protect these people that I love. I have to do those things, but this beautiful girl that I'm married to, she doesn't understand that. She doesn't understand what her role is, and she doesn't understand what addiction is. Because she married me after I was healed. Right? She married me when I was in this awesome place. She doesn't know what I look like when I'm losing battles and totally consuming in my addiction. She has no idea what that looks like. But I'm in this place now where I know how not to go there anymore, and I know how to stay in this place, and I've worked that really well, but now I'm getting married, and this whole dynamic is changing. And with all my heart, I want my wife to feel loved, I want her to feel comfortable, and I want her to love me. So what I do instead is I think things like, this is inconvenient, it bothers her, She doesn't really understand it. Like, she can't understand it. And it's hard for me to describe what I need or what she needs to understand. And so it restricts my freedom, restricts her freedom. It's embarrassing. It makes me stand out. I'm really different. I'm a different guy than that guy that we're sitting next to at church with that wife. I'm a different guy. And so if I bring that up with her a lot and she knows that I'm working my recovery because that's what I do, because I'm totally awesome. I know how to rock this now, and I do it for you, and I do it for me, and you get that. But if she doesn't get that, and she says, you know what, this is inconvenient, and that's embarrassing, and that's in the past. You told me about that, and I get that, but that's not you. That's not you now. That's in the past. Let's not talk about that. Okay, so what's the message? That's a big deal. So what I want to get to today is that the person who's in recovery or working to get to recovery, they have a responsibility to themselves to stay in recovery, but they have a responsibility to communicate the best they can that recovery is not a destination and try to say what that looks like. Here's what I look like staying in recovery. And it's difficult to see what that looks like or even describe it because you aren't even there yet in a marriage. You aren't even there yet. You don't know how to even describe. Here's what this will look like when we're married. Because you've never been married. Even somebody who didn't have an addiction to pornography. And we have no idea what our marriage is going to look like. And it's tricky. It's so tricky to navigate feelings and schedules and emotions and busy and children and all that stuff without something like diabetes or cancer or an addiction. It's really hard just to do it without that stuff. So when you add that into it, trying to say, this is what that looks like if you are going to choose me. It doesn't look any different than it looks for marrying a diabetic or marrying someone with cancer. But the issue that I have can be embarrassing. It can require you to be sad sometimes. and maybe to take it personally, even though it has nothing to do with you. But you will take it personally because I'm addicted to something that has to do with the most intimate thing, my sexuality, that I share with you. And so that is going to affect us. And I can stay in recovery for my whole life and never lose another battle. But I won't be able to do that unless you understand that recovery is not a destination. And you have to know, what's your role in marrying a diabetic? What are you choosing when you marry somebody that I have a sickness or I have an issue and it is going to last forever? I'll always be susceptible to this, especially if I don't work my recovery. It will come back and it could really hurt us. What I've noticed in my own personal experience watching my two sons and their experience of, they're doing pretty awesome. It's not been easy, but they're doing awesome because they know how to communicate. And she gets, it's not about me, about you. You have to do it. I stand here and cheer for you. I support you. And I get what that is. That is an addiction. That has nothing to do with me. I get that. Okay, so this son struggles. But I can say, I can tell my chemicals are off. And I have to do this, this, and this. And it's going to take this long. And that's the biggest priority right now. And I know you need help with the kids. And I know this and that and that. But because she knows, if I want him to be safe and not get hurt, I have to let him go do that thing that'll take that long. And these guys, they're going to make it because they figured out this is what that takes. So back to Jim and Kristen. So Jim said yes, and so did Kristen, and they got married. And they now have a clear understanding of what that means to be in that place. He didn't know, what's that going to look like if I marry her? He had no idea. He just knew. She's going to have to, like, go to the doctor. She's going to have to get this diagnose of, you have 5 more years life expectancy every 5 years. You have 5 more years. And then you come back. And so since then, she's gone through 2 more things of chemotherapy. And she had her surgery and did her chemotherapy. And her cancer was in her lymph nodes from behind her ears, all down her chest and her throat, but nothing on her thyroid. And so she has a scar that goes from behind her ears all the way down her neck and clear like this. And so he loved her looking like Frankenstein. I mean, she had staples all like this, you know, in the hospital, and said, yeah, I'm going to marry you. And so we, of course, love Jim. He's a great guy. But their life hasn't been easy. It's been really challenging. And not just because of this. They've had other really big life challenges, because we all do. But this is something that never goes away, even in life challenges. So we can't say, can we just put that on hold, your cancer, your addiction, your diabetes, while we deal with this fire over here? No, we can't. Because if we do that, it makes the cancer worse, it makes diabetes sick, and it makes people with addiction go to lost battles. That's what that does. Because now our stress is huge, and I go to my addiction to relieve stress. Let's see, Kristen said, yes, I will be responsible and do all I can to fight this disease and fight for our family, for my safety and my health. And Jim said, yes, I will love and support you in that fight. And that's what I think it takes with addiction. And it's a piece I think we're not quite getting yet. And I think it's important to say that out loud more and more, that we need to understand what that looks like, that it's not just, yay, you're a return missionary. So cool. And you had an addiction? No big deal. I totally get it. Everybody has an addiction these days, right? And pornography is just all over the place. I've looked at it too. Okay, we're kind of on the same page. We get what pornography is. But what they don't understand is this is entering into this dynamic where you can't ignore diabetes. You can't ignore cancer. You can't ignore addiction. And it's not a destination. It's a journey, a lifelong journey. And once someone tells you, I've dealt with an addiction, it's not in the past. It's a new dynamic moving forward. And I have the most respect for people who have healed from addiction. Because I see that and I live that. And they're the people in my life. They're my heroes. And I love the people that stand there and cheer for them and get that does not define you. That does not define you, just like diabetes doesn't define that person, or cancer doesn't make them broken or not lovable. That's my message. That's something that I feel passionate about. But just lately, it's become so blaringly obvious. This is something that I don't think we knew how to watch till we got to this place. I think the key is to understand that there's a power greater than ours. And he says weakness doesn't ever define anyone. And the reason I'm here is for love. And he has personal experience. Jesus Christ has personal experience that the thing that hurts the most is love. Loving people, think about what he did for us out of love, hurt. And when you sign up and are committed to love someone, you also sign up for anything that comes with that, as long as they'll honor that and be, have character in that place with you. You're signing up for that because love is the most glorious, beautiful thing that we get to share. But it is also something that hurts all of us because requires a lot. So thank you.